Well, we're grateful to be here this morning. I broke my glasses, so anyway, bear with me. I'd like to, this morning, look at a little bit of the timeline of Jesus' last days. I'd like to look in the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter, and the 50th verse. It said, "Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deeds of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on." So I want to talk just a little bit about the crucifixion, the timeline, the things that happened. And I didn't look up all the scriptures. I just got a few of them that kind of give us. So here, Joseph of Arimathea went and begged the body of Jesus, and it said it was the preparation day, and the Sabbath drew on. We know the Sabbath day was the seventh day that God created the earth, and on the seventh day He rested, which became a commandment under the Old Testament that they would rest, that they weren't to do manual labor. And so preparation day was, they prepared for the Sabbath. They prepared ahead of time so on the Sabbath they wouldn't have to do menial labor and work, that it would be a day of rest. So there's other scriptures that mentions, and I'm sorry I didn't look these up, but Jesus, we believe he was, I'm kind of going backwards here just a moment. So this is a point of time, of reference for us. Jesus was crucified on Friday morning at 9 o'clock. The Jews had taken him Thursday evening. We know Thursday was the day that the disciples and Jesus remembered the Passover, where they had the Lord's Supper. That was Thursday evening. And later that night, they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's where Judas appeared. And the disciples were asleep. And the Lord asked them to watch and pray, lest they would enter into temptation. And the last time he came back, he found them asleep. He said, "Behold, he that betrayeth me is at hand. They're here to take me." That was Thursday night. They took him to the hall. I don't remember exactly what it was called. It was Thursday night. They mocked him. They smote him with the palms of their hands. They had the false accusers come in and try to corroborate their testimonies that didn't agree. And finally, Jesus confessed that he was the Christ. And they said, "What further need have we of witnesses? We've heard out of his own mouth." And so they sentenced him to death. And we know Peter denied the Lord. Jesus told him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny that you know me three times. And that was early that morning. They took Jesus to Pilate. And Pilate sent him to Herod. All this happened very early Friday morning. And by 9 o'clock, they had him hanging on the cross. And we realize that there was a great darkness upon the earth at noon. And at 3 o'clock, Jesus gave up the ghost. He expired and he gave up the ghost. And then we have this. That was Friday, about 3 o'clock, when he expired. They call it the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock. Ninth hour from 6 in the morning. And after that, Joseph of Arimathea came. That was preparation day, Friday. The next day, the Sabbath was drawing on. And so they wanted him down off the cross. The thieves were still alive, so they broke their legs to speed up their death so they wouldn't have to do that type of thing on the Sabbath day, to get their bodies down on the Sabbath day. So that's kind of a summary in the things. Now I want to go in Luke, the 24th chapter, in the first verse. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Now the first day of the week would be, we term Sunday, that would be the equivalent. I don't know exactly what they called their first day, but to us, that's Sunday, that's following a Saturday. But on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And I just, in reading on down, it says, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. You know, it was just, I think probably we would have had a real struggle too, of being able to see and know that Jesus expired and died on the cross, seeing him so helpless and the life leaving him. And I don't know if all the apostles, I don't really know, it said they fled. We know John was there, close, where Jesus could speak to him about his mother. And, but we don't really know who was all right there at hand. But the whole thing would have been very difficult to take in. I want to, there's another, and these scriptures are backed up in Mark, the 15th, the 42nd chapter. He says the same thing. Matthew 15 and 42. It says, "And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God." So, and then also in Mark, the 16th chapter, in the first verse, it says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun." It's just a wonderful thing how Jesus fulfilled the plan of God and the scriptures, how in one place he told Judas, my personal opinion, but when the alabaster box of ointment was broke, and Judas, it said they spoke with indignation. They were upset because it looked like a big waste. And one of the Gospels said it's not because Judas cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the bag, and because he was a thief. Right after that, Judas goes out. I think that triggered something in him. Because right after that is when he goes and covenants with the Pharisees to find a point of betrayal. He makes a deal with the Pharisees, and that's noted in the Gospels also. So these days are pretty, they seem very solid to me, and I want to go now to Matthew, the 12th chapter, and verse 38. It says, "And certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from heaven. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." I don't know. It's amazing to me how God, I don't know. Did the Lord choose Jonah because he knew what he was going to do? But he used Jonah's failure as a sign. And it's amazing to me the sign that he gave here that would be given to that generation. And, you know, it's easy to believe. It's easy for me to believe that Jesus was Christ because I know what he's done in my heart and my life. I know the change that he made me. But there are so many different things that God has given and ordained that came to pass that we recognize that Jesus truly was the Son of God. As a centurion did when Jesus expired and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this is the Son of God," when he saw the things that had happened there. I want to work with this thought, the heart of the earth. It's the only place that I've found in the scriptures where it talks about this phrase is mentioned, heart of the earth. There's different places that are very similar, but this is the only one that I could find. But let's go to Jonah, the second chapter. In chapter 1, in verse 14, it says, "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." I don't know how these men could say all these things. All I can see is it's God working in this whole thing. And I think they recognized that it was God. They didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. That wasn't their desire to throw him overboard. And they prayed, but they recognized that somehow God was working here. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed, chapter 2 and verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, into thine holy temple. In verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, it said the men all made vows. I believe Jonah made a vow. He said, I'll pay that which I have vowed. I'll follow through. You've saved me. You've had mercy upon me. I will obey. I'll go to Nineveh, in other words. But he talked about being encompassed. He talked about the earth with her bars. Now I want to go to... let's see, it's Psalm 71 and verse 20. Psalm 71 and verse 20. It says, Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Now here it's not saying the heart of the earth, but it kind of has the same meaning, it says the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Many times the scripture, when it's referring to the earth, it's referring to humiliation. It's referring to great trouble, great difficulties, great affliction. And that's talking about the earth. There's another scripture I wanted to get in Psalms 139 and 5. Psalms 139 and 5. He says, Thou hast... Let's see, that's not what I was wanting. I was wanting... he mentions about being compassed by the Lord and the Lord knowing him intimately, but it mentions 15. Yes. He says, My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. It's talking about the lowest part of the earth here. It's talking about the womb. It's talking about weakness. It's talking about vulnerability. It's not a literal in the earth or in the ground, but it's an expression of weakness, of vulnerability. And I believe that's what these other verses are kind of showing. Luke 22. No, that's not the one I was wanting. Let's see. Luke. Yeah, here it is. Luke 22 and verse 50. It says, "And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear." This is in the garden. "And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priest and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." This is your hour. This is the power of darkness, that Jesus was surrendering himself to and committing himself to. He was willingly giving up his life. And also in the book of Acts the 8th chapter and the 32nd verse, Philip joins himself to the Ethiopian's chariot, and he listens and he's reading. He hears the man reading in the book of Isaiah. And the man asked him in verse 31, or Philip asked him in verse 30, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And then it said, "And he asked him, speaketh the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" What an opportunity here. The Holy Spirit was working in this thing also. And the eunuch, and then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. But I want to note here, it says, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. There's a lot of scriptures that bear out that that was Christ, the trial that he went through. To me, that was the most difficult part. Once his spirit left his body, the struggle was over. It was gone, because he said, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." The real battle was, the humiliation was, the trial. His death was hanging on the cross. That was humiliation. They laughed at him. They mocked him. If you be the Son of God, come down, save yourself, and we'll believe you. That was a great humiliation. That was a great mockery, a trial. But they spit on his face, a great trial and difficulty that Jesus went through. In Isaiah 53, it mentions he was afflicted, and that's what it's referring to. He was bruised, he was afflicted. And as a sheep is dumb before her shears, he opened not his mouth. In our interpretation of the heart of the earth, if we just consider the grave of being in the tomb, we have trouble with the scripture in Matthew, because it says that Jesus would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. But if we interpret the heart of the earth as also his trial and his humiliation, just like these other scriptures have done, the midst of the earth, the belly of hell, the belly of the bowels of the earth, then we have that Jesus, if we count Thursday evening when he was taken captive, when they came and they apprehended him and took him in, we have the complete 3 days and three nights. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night is three nights. We have 3 days. We got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning that he was resurrected. And Jesus fulfilled the scriptures to a T. I marvel. I want to get one more scripture in the book of John, the 10th chapter. In John, the 10th chapter, I wanted to read also verse 17. It says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." So Jesus, we know, it was a willing sacrifice that he gave himself to be bruised, to be beaten. He wasn't taken off guard. He knew what was going to happen ahead of time. And he told Jesus, he talked about Judas betraying him. He said, "Woe to him, that man, by that man is the Son of Man betrayed." He said, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And so Jesus went as it was written of him, and he fulfilled the prophecies. In John, the 10th chapter, in the first verse, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth." This porter, I believe I mentioned it a while back, but it's a gate warden. It's somebody that's watching and patrolling an entry, a gate warden, someone that's in charge of who comes in and who goes out. It says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." But I think about the door of prophecies that was given. All the prophecies that came about Jesus Christ giving his life made a very, very narrow opening for someone to be able to go through and fulfill. But all the scriptures Jesus fulfilled, it said, "To him the porter openeth." The Heavenly Father was causing all these things. It would be impossible for man to... There is no possible way that man could have formulate and carry out a plan like this that was unconsciously being carried out by those that hated him. Sinners. Innocent bystanders. Many of them fulfilled, not knowing that they were fulfilling the scriptures. There's no way that is a random possibility. And I'm thankful today that Jesus, he rose from the grave. He gave his life. He surrendered his life on the cross, that you and I could find new life, that we could be saved, that we could have our sins washed away and have a hope of a new a new life, a hope of life, and a hope of a future home in heaven. Jesus came and He fulfilled. And it's a marvel to me. It's a great wonderment how Jesus fulfilled those prophecies of Scripture, and how even also, like I mentioned, those that were persecuting Him, the innocent bystanders, all of them. Joseph of Arimathea, I don't think he had any idea something was propelling him to go get the body of Jesus, but he fulfilled Scripture. He died with the wicked, but he made his grave with the rich. It was all fulfilling Scripture. No man, no plan, no committee, no group of people. The donkeys they brought to him for him, the triumphal entry. That couldn't have just happened. The porter, he was the true one. The porter saw him. Jesus said, "Many have come, but they're thieves. And all that came before me were thieves and robbers, and the sheep didn't hear their voice." But the porter opened to Jesus. The Scriptures, the fulfillment. And today, you and I have the beautiful plan of salvation, that we can be forgiven, that we can have hope today because He died and He lives and He rose again the third day. I just appreciate the Lord this morning. I appreciate what He has done, the great sacrifice that He has made for us is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it makes your heart yearn when you see people that are bound, that are not really enjoying what Jesus came to give them, to offer them. Lord, help us to do our part in telling the old story. The old story brings new life. It changes old, darkened, hardened hearts that are, you know, sometimes you look at people and you just, but I was the same way. I mean, you know, when people looked at me, they probably thought, what a heathen. What are the possibilities? And sometimes we think that in the back of our mind. We think, is there any hope? Yes, there is. There is hope this morning. Because Jesus, He fulfilled the Scriptures. He said, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of Him." I thank God for the beautiful plan of salvation. I thank the Lord that He ever took time to knock on my heart's door. I remember so many different times the feeling would come over me before I was saved. It was just like, you need to live for God. You need to do what's right. You need to make a change. At the time, I didn't realize that. But that was the Holy Spirit. Now I know that was the Holy Spirit. I remember sometimes, even during a busy commotion, things were going on. And that voice would come to me and speak to me. You need to give this up. You need to give your heart and life to me. And I know the Lord is still doing that for people. I'm confident the Holy Spirit, God, is no respecter of persons. He gives people the opportunity. He stands at the door and knocks. And He says, if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. I like that picture we got back there on the back. It's got a picture of Jesus. He's standing at the door. He's knocking. That's what He does. And that's what He's done today. And I believe He'll keep doing it until He comes back. But I'm thankful this morning that He is our great Shepherd, that gave His life for the sheep.